This is the Echo Network.
Kelly's Westport Inn presents the Royalman Report with Casey Royalman.
He's an important member of the sports atmosphere in Kansas City.
Michael Engel. Jeff Herr.
And Chris Kamler, who is the producer of the Royalman Report.
Music by 49 Stones and Andre and the Giants. And now, the Royalman Report.
Which is this group of Royals fans, like three or four of them, and they are kind of clinically insane.
And welcome to another Sunday night. This is the Royalman Report, coming to you live from Kansas City. Joined, as usual, by Jeff Herr, to my left, and Chris Kamler, also known.
That's where you talk.
I
got you.
I didn't know if it was a long enough pause for me to squeak
off
in
the
there.
Rails are
we haven't been in the basement in a while, so.
It feels like it's been a long time, doesn't it?
It really has.
Spent a good hour just trying to clean this place because you guys haven't been here in like a month, and I'm changing jobs, and I've got crap from my old office and crap going to my new office, and you're lucky you have a table.
I can't even tell the difference, sorry to say.
Right. So, thank you, Michael Engel, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, they don't call me Scott Drew for nothing. So we're here again on a Sunday night talking some Royals baseball. Unfortunately, it's another Royals loss today. Another pretty weak homestand after at least some encouraging signs in the past. You know, the Royals lost 2-0 today. Kind of wasted a good outing by Nate Adcock. And I don't know how many good pitching starts that you can actually waste at this point in the season, especially with everybody being hurt. So what are your guys' impressions early on, right now, today? You know, who should be in this rotation? This is really just off the top of my head.
Off the top of my head, if I
Zach
were
Zach Greinke.
can we get David Cone back?
Of healthy,
Brett Saberhagen.
Healthy and available.
Healthy, pitchers. Available to the Royals. My five guys would be right now Bruce Chinn, Luke Hochever for lack of a better option.
But the good, I want the good Luke Hochever to be in the rotation,
or at least the just not horrible Luke Hochever.
that one too.
The close to average Luke Hochever.
I'd throw Adcock in there. I like what he's been able to do. Mm-hmm. I'd probably put Tiefer in that spot. And you know what? For the fifth spot, I would bring up Mike Montgomery. At this point, you know, I mean, he hasn't necessarily really deserved a call-up, but, I mean, just see what he's got. I don't know if he's going to improve much more. Maybe he's one of those guys that, you know, if he just gets that kind of kick in the pants to once he gets up to the major league level, a little bit of I finally made it, now I can relax and start pitching like I know what I'm doing. I don't know if that's the case or whatever, but I mean, I just at this point, what do you got to lose?
Yeah, I mean, you might as well see him. Yeah, I kind of wondered that. I wonder if he's just bored. You know, if somebody's bored, you know, that's the kid that acts out in class because, you know, the teacher's not challenging him. So maybe you bring up Mike Montgomery and maybe he focuses to the point that he can actually do something. I don't know, but you're right. At this point, it's not going to hurt that much. You know, it's the end of May. Service time's really not going to be too big of a concern. And the Royals need arms, and they need high-quality arms.
And to your point, you know, he's come out and he's had dominant starts at AAA. The problem has just been consistently getting those from him, which they haven't been able to do. So it's almost like if that is the case with Mike Montgomery, he's come up and he's had some dominant starts, and he said, you know what, I can do it. I just want to be in the majors right now. And so he kind of tunes out for a few starts, and then he gets shelled for 7 runs.
That's wakes best him case. Up, and then, that's, okay, oh, maybe I should get my act together.
And that's best-case scenario, honestly. Worst-case scenario is that he's just not good anymore.
Well, I had a chance to talk to him. I was in Omaha over the weekend and had actually a chance to interview him for the podcast. And he, first of all, he said he'd never heard the George Brett quote,
really?
Which I found interesting. Huh. He says the Royals, and he said come to terms was his phrase about long toss, and then he said he's doing everything possible to get up to the major leagues as quickly as possible. So you know, when you kind of stand and look into somebody's eyes, you can kind of tell that he believes it. I think the Royals just need to see some additional success out of him, and he'll be up here lickety-split.
And I wonder when you say come to terms, exactly what that kind of means. Because, I don't want to turn myself into that
You're
guy.
You're the long toss guy.
But it's not even about that necessarily, as it is he has his program that he likes to do. And if he had to fight and struggle with the Royals to get it and they've come to terms, I mean, if my boss says to me, Jeff, you're doing this wrong. I don't like the way you're doing this. And I say, hey, I'm really, you know, this is the way I'm really comfortable with. I'd really prefer if I'm able to do it. And my boss says, okay, that's fine. But then stands over my shoulder and you know, disconcertingly looks at me
as I'm doing it.
You know, okay, do it, but it better be right and it better be the best ever, type of a thing. You know, does that really help?
Well, I learned a valuable journalistic lesson yesterday when I had interviews with both Will Myers and. And Mike Montgomery, and they were fairly extensive and fairly good. And the microphone didn't work, so both of those are gone. So I wish I could, add audio to this portion of the show, but that is not possible. We will have some audio in the second segment when my microphone did work. But he said, "Come to terms," and he kind of chuckled a little bit to himself. I couldn't read too much into it, but you know, it sounded like he was at a place where he was okay with it.
Right. Well, you know, and to me, what might be the worst part about that is, regardless of where they're at now, like that whole process of getting to the point where they've come to terms, it's damaged that relationship. So let's say Mike Montgomery, you know, a month from now he's turned it on and he's up at the major league level and he's the guy we always thought he was. Is there going to be any chance that the Royals get him to stay here long term? I don't think there will be, just because he had to fight so hard with them just to get any sort of leeway to do what can make him successful.
Yeah.
You know, that might also ultimately be the worst part, besides stunting his or others' development, just the fact that it's damaged relationships with some of these pitchers, where if they do become good, the Royals don't have a chance to sign him because they don't want to be here and put up with that.
True.
Interesting stuff. Some other minor league pitchers, Jake Odorizzi made a start on Friday down in Omaha. That was his debut. We actually, on the Kansas City Baseball Vault, we talked with Kevin Goldstein from Baseball Prospectus about Jake Odorizzi and a little bit about Mike Montgomery as well. That was last Thursday, and of course that show is every Thursday from 6 to 7 on ESPN 1510 AM. We also talked about Will Myers, who was recently promoted to Omaha. We talked about Odorizzi, of course. Also, Eric Hosmer's struggles and Mike Moustakas' successes. So we covered a lot of good Royals stuff with Kevin, and you know, he was very generous, you know, with his time. I think he had a busy day, so we had him for 15 minutes, and it was a good 15 minutes. So you want to go to kingsofkauffman.com/KC Baseball Vault, and you can check out that archive show. We also talked with Joe Rudy, who was a former Kansas City A, and he had some interesting stories too as well. So an interesting tale about almost being sold to Boston, which was
that was a really interesting
story.
Yeah,
it was just a weird story, kind of a messy story with Charlie Finley and whatnot. So you want to check that out. One of our guests next week on the Vault is going to be John Sadock. He's the kind of the media play-by-play guy for the Wilmington Blue Rocks. So he gets to see a lot of those guys as they're coming up the ladder. He's seen Jake Odorizzi and Mike Montgomery and Eric Hosmer and all of these guys as they've come up. And currently he's there with, you know, Chesler Cuthbert's up there, Jason Adams up there, and a few others. So I think it's going to be interesting to talk with him for sure. But
I have a funny Wilmington Blue Rocks story really quick.
please tell us.
So I'm at the Royals game at a work outing this past Thursday. And this girl on my team was saying that she didn't grow up in Kansas City. She's like, yeah, you know, I'd probably be more excited about this stuff if I grew up in Kansas City and I was a Royals fan or had any connection to the Royals, like my family was from here or something like that. And I said, where'd you grow up? And she's like, I grew up in Wilmington. And I was like, oh, the Royals have an affiliate in Wilmington. Their high A team is there. And she goes, oh, really? I was like, yeah, the Blue Rocks. She's like, no way, the Blue Rocks are the Royals? She's like, I guess I am a Royals fan. So look at that. My knowledge of the minor league system has converted someone into being a Royals fan right there.
Go figure.
And although I don't know how long they've been in Wilmington, the Wilmington club has been affiliated with the Royals, so I assume it's long enough for her to have been a fan. But
four or five, it's been pretty recent.
So
I don't remember, though. I should know that off the top of my head. But what can you do? Busy Indeed. Weekend.
That is a good story, though, Jeff. Thank you. Thought that was funny. Thanks for contributing to the program.
I like to drop them in every now and then.
Every now and then. Blind squirrel, whatever.
Once a month, whether you need them or not.
Speaking of Wilmington, Jason Adam, friend of the show. He's having kind of a weird year, and Kevin Goldstein talked about Jason Adam a little bit on The Vault and kind of mentioned him as a weird pitcher, and I don't think necessarily personality-wise, just weird in his attributes. He's 1-6. He's got 1 win, 6 losses, but here's the thing. His ERA is 2.82. I believe Wilmington was no-hit yesterday during his start, and he gave up 2 runs. So, you know, it's just weird luck for
that's
everybody.
Bad luck.
Yeah, I was just like, what the heck can you do with that?
Not
I mean,
much you can do about that one.
And Wilmington's really struggled with the bats this year. They did have a good walk-off win. And if you go to our Facebook page on Facebook / Royal Man Reports, there is a call from John Sadock of that walk-off, and it's really well done. So it's going to be interesting to talk to him next Thursday.
Can we play it? Hang on, let me play it.
Yeah, go for it.
Just keep talking for a second.
Can I get some pulling up the call music?
Can I get some
whoop-de-doop-de-doop.
By the way, I was watching Conan O'Brien was on David Letterman.
Oh, that was great.
The other day. That was really, really that was fantastic.
They just sat there in silence.
Conan O'Brien was on David Letterman's show.
David Letterman?
They just kind of sat there for 2 minutes and looked at each other, and the audience ate it up. I mean, it was good TV.
I am not seeing anything on the
Royal Man Report page.
Maybe I put it on the vault.
Is it on the vault?
Check it on the vault.
Okay, hang on.
I get them mixed up. There's so many different pages and everything. So you should be following KC Baseball Vault on Twitter.
We have now diversified past our level of being able to maintain.
Right. They say psychologists say you can have 200 actual acquaintances / friends and be able to keep them straight. And we're well past that as far as podcasts and other projects.
Here we go. I think I got it.
Yep. That's it.
And there it is.
Like I said.
And there it is.
So Leidner takes his cuts on deck. There's no intentional walk. David will see a pitch. Henry's 1-0. Swung on it. Set high in the air. Deep left field. Martinez going back at the wall. It's gone. It's a walk-off home run for Kevin David. He got the pitch middle in. McClure mopped at the plate, and now they await Kevin David. His second dinger of the season. He flips his helmet to the heavens and gets overrun by his teammates at home plate. A walk-off home run for the Wilmington Blue Rocks. They were down by 4, and they stormed back to score the game's final 5-3 in the ninth, and they win it 6-5.
One of the things from that Omaha has had, they have had 5 walk-off victories and several others that have been one-run games. And we were talking about with Marty Cordero, the GM, says, "Oh, maybe we should just call it the year of the walk off or something." And I said, "No, you don't want to jinx it, you know, if you do that." But I have a newfound respect for the PR people, all the behind the scenes people at these minor league ballparks, because it's just, you know, I spent last week or 2 weekends ago in Northwest Arkansas, and this past weekend in Omaha, and it's just these guys do everything. I'm going to get his name wrong, but Ben Hemmen, who is the in-stadium announcer for the Omaha Storm Chasers. He was out there pulling the tarp yesterday.
Wow.
No way.
It was just he took me on like an hour-long tour of the stadium. It was phenomenal. So nothing but love to those guys.
How did this all go? I don't even know if I heard this story. How did this all get worked out? How did you get invited and do the
I didn't get invited. Tour? I asked to come up. Nobody ever asks me to go anywhere. I wasn't sure.
I didn't know if maybe they honestly.
I don't think they really knew who the hell I was, but that's all right.
He's got a tape recorder. Let him in.
2 weekends ago, the goal was to just get the hell out of the house for the weekend,
right?
With Brett and I for Mother's Day. That's what we like to spend Mother's Day. Just leave Mother alone for an entire weekend. So we just went down. Because that's what we were going to do anyway. I just happened to send an email to the GM out there, Eric Edelstein, and we got to talk to him. So I made it sort of a working thing.
Report. We've heard of you.
And then no, absolutely not. And so they, you know, then I can maybe take it off on my taxes or something. But last weekend, or this past weekend, I went up there with Mission. I'm going to write a series of articles for the Platte County Landmark about one tank baseball trips. So trips that you could take in one tank. I'm going to do one on the Arkansas Naturals. I'm going to do one on Omaha. I'm probably going to do one on the St. Joe Mustangs, and maybe make that a theme over the summer. Hey, if you're looking for a nice vacation, but you don't have a lot of cash, you should want to try to find somewhere you can go in a tank of gas. You know, these would be great options. It's only a 3 hour drive down to Northwest Arkansas. It's only a 3 hour drive up to Omaha. Mm-hmm. It's an hour drive to St. Joe. If you're a baseball fan at all, these are great places. And I was absolutely shocked with the Arvest Ballpark and the park in Omaha, Warner Park. They're both brand new. I mean, they're both absolutely new. They put the T-Bones Park to shame. I mean, there's so many people there. It's so high energy. It's so many, you know, promotions and concessions. And you know, I thought I knew minor league baseball just by going out to T-Bones, but these guys just blow them away. And I can't thank enough the guys who took me around at both parks. And they were extremely nice. And I got an actual press pass for 2 days.
That is fancy.
They were rained out yesterday, so I didn't get to hang out too much. But I got to go in the locker room. I got to like be a real reporter and learn things like, you know, make sure the microphone's on when you interview people and you're standing in a locker room. That completely changes the dynamic of being a blogger when you're actually standing in front of Will Myers or in front of Jake Odorizzi or something. I mean, it humanizes the entire experience. You can't just lob grenades from the blogosphere.
Why
are you striking out 30% of the time?
We learned that a little bit at Blog to the K.
But this was still kind of filtered a little bit. You're
a credentialed guy. You sit up in the press box. You sit next to people like hell, I'm going to forget all the names. I got them all in the next segment.
Lee Warren's going to be there.
Yeah, Lee Warren. I met him yesterday. Bob from the Omaha World Journal, just fantastic people, and I really enjoyed my time. And in another life, that would be my job. I would just be a sports reporter because it was. Although the downside of that is when they go 0-for-5 with 3 strikeouts, and then you have to go interview them and say, you know, hey, what's going on? Why are you fucking up?
He's like, I just got to keep my focus.
Absolutely. So thank you to the Omaha Storm Chasers and for that opportunity. I really appreciate it. It was a lot of fun.
That's really cool.
Well, that's really cool. That's really cool of them to do that. That's
it's fantastic.
It seems like minor league teams, it's a little easier for us blogger types to get in there. I was talking with some people on last Wednesday, talking to the Kansas City Press Club, actually, and that was one of the questions that came up was credentials. And you know, the Royals are really protective of those credentials. It's pretty much impossible for a blogger to get them unless you're actually affiliated with directly ESPN.com. It's really not going to happen.
Well, and a lot of that is not just the Royals. It's
Major League Baseball.
Major League Baseball. The Baseball Writers Association of America, who control the press box pretty hard.
Yeah.
You don't have that problem, in the lower minor leagues. And in other sports.
You know, I know with the NFL, at least, they, you know, lots of bloggers have credentials there, so you know, even here in Kansas City. So I don't know all the sports how it breaks down, but I think baseball, like most things, is probably lagging behind a little bit.
Yeah. Yep. Well, I mean, is there even like an NFL, like a Football Writers Association of America? I mean,
that's a good question.
You never hear about them, so I don't know. Let's go take a break. We're going to come back. We'll probably talk a little bit more about Omaha and maybe hear some audio. We'll be right back on the Royal Man Report. The rock is dead, it's all over. Rock and roll is dead. Bottle of Jack, Mercury Fred, Muscle Car, Grateful Dead, Lord of the Rings, Settling the Lead, Devil's Tattoo, Rusted Fred, it's all over. Rock and roll is dead.
It's Ben for Kelly's Westport Inn. Do high gas prices got you down? Well, don't worry about it. Hop on the bus to Kelly's Westport Inn and save some jingle jangle as you drink until you're blingle blangle. Kelly's has the best open air roof in town with beer and drink prices that are cheaper than at the pump. That's for sure. There's plenty of TVs to watch the soccer and the football games this summer. Plus, there's someone for everyone, and you can find him or her at Kelly's. Hearts and smoochies. So check out Kelly's Westport Inn, and you'll have more change to fill up your range, Rover. This has been Ben, Kelly's Westport Ben, saying smell you laters.
After a long day, you can only go so far.
Kelly's.
You work hard to make the moment right.
Kelly's.
You grind it out to make that time yours.
Kelly's.
You pound the pavement, only to find you're getting closer.
Kelly's.
You find the peak, and the peak finds you.
Kelly's.
When you find the time, and she finds the time, make it Kelly's.
Kelly's.
Kelly's Westport Inn can cause intimate moments and can also cause members of the opposite sex to appear more or less attractive than they actually are. You should speak to a doctor before attempting Kelly's Westport Inn, as the results might be marriage, children, or a one-night stand. Or it might just involve having some beers with your friends, eating some pizza, and watching the games on TV. I don't know. I talk pretty fast.
Kelly's Westport Inn. You know when.
Kelly's.
Tell them you came for the Royal Man Report.
I don't have any Robin Gibb. It's an excellent question, though. I just have Donna Summer, which is a shame, but that's all right. And I really wanted to jump to the break. Maybe I can't fast forward on this thing. Anyway, welcome back to the Royal Man Report. Sorry.
Oh, we're on? Oh, crap.
There's been, if you've paid close attention to the last several episodes, I've tried to take a musical theme, and this is Dead Disco People, so... or Rise of the Phoenix Disco People, you know,
right.
Tenacious D.
Jack Black, still alive. No worries if you're a fan.
Do you like booze? I do.
I like booze.
Come on out next Sunday booze. To the Westport Block Party. It is Kelly's Westport Inn, and can't remember what that says. Oh, it's McCoy's. Oh, McCoy's. The 15th anniversary. It's the 765th anniversary of Kelly's. there's going to be lots of music, lots of beer. There may be some podcasting. We're still ironing some of those details out. Anyway, if you like booze, just come out Sunday, drink, $5 cover, mention the Royal Man Report, and you know, slip the guy a $5 bill, and you won't have to pay anything. So, see what I did there? See, I did that.
I see what you did there.
Yep. It's going to be a lot of fun, and we'll try to make it out there and shake some hands, kiss some babies, shake some babies, kiss some hands, and we will have a good time. As I was mentioning, welcome back to the Royal Man Report. I am Chris Candler. I'm joined by Michael Engel, Jeff Herr. Troy Olson is on assignment this weekend. What is he? Is he protesting in Chicago? Is that what he's doing this weekend? Protesting the NATO stuff? I think I saw him on CNN.
Probably. He's the guy in the tights.
I believe that's
that
what
guy.
He was saying.
Chicago, there's no shortage of people in tights. He got some play on Fox Sports.
Yeah, he was on
he
there
was
for
all
like
over that
20
thing.
Seconds, and it was. I was looking at my Twitter, and I have this list of just people to follow
up.
From Royals, and it's like 14 in a row, and it's all like Royal Man's on TV. Royal Man's on TV.
I missed this.
What yeah, was he was on TV.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
They just shot him. It was
like
it the extra inning game.
Yeah, it was that Baltimore game. It was Wednesday.
Another one of those nights in the Twitter sphere where everybody was awake watching the game. It's just, you know, there's nights that everybody just kind of hangs out
like
and watches
decides,
it.
Like everybody decides, I'm going to stay up and watch some Royals baseball tonight.
Love it. Anyway, as I mentioned in the first segment, I got the chance to go out to Omaha and cover, I guess, the Omaha Storm Chasers. Only saw one game, watched Friday as Jake Odorizzi pitched, and the Storm Chasers won. He pitched very well, and then last night that was delayed and then canceled by rain. In fact, they delayed it without a drop falling, and then the umpires came out at 8 o'clock They took the tarp off the field, and then this gigantic black cloud from hell just came out of nowhere, and it was dog day, and so all these dogs, like 5 minutes before, they all scattered.
It's like something's coming.
I was like, oh, Eli's coming. And so, yeah, I got pretty crazy. But I got a chance to actually get some sound from several members of the club. The first interview I had, and we're gonna, I've bundled all of these into like a half-hour special we're going to throw out on Tuesday after this show. So if you are an Omaha Storm Chasers fan or just want to know more about the Omaha Club, make sure to stick with the RSS feed because that show will come out on Tuesday. But I had a chance to talk to Marty Cordero, who is the Omaha Storm Chasers general manager. Now, general managers in the minor leagues aren't like Dayton Moore. They are more marketing and stadium operations guys, but they obviously have a relationship with the players and the manager and whatnot. So I had a chance to talk to him about a couple of the new players. Jake Odorizzi and Will Myers obviously just came up. So, oh my God, my screen just like went crazy. Hold on a second. So my first question to wow. The screen is so really jacked up. So keep going.
Go. Awesome. So you got to see Will Myers basically 2 weeks in a row then, right?
I did. Jake Odorizzi. I saw him both both pitch. It was pretty sweet.
Odorizzi pitched in Northwest Arkansas. Were you there too?
Odorizzi pitched in Northwest Arkansas.
Talk
it was fantastic.
About fortunate timing.
I was I was pretty excited about it. So as soon as I can get my screen to pop up here, holy crap. I just upgraded my computer to the new whatever, and it's seriously jacked up. So
Of course.
So anyway, I asked him about Mike Montgomery. We were talking about Mike Montgomery earlier and his widely discussed problems behind him and what it'll take to get better and come up to the big club.
Well, it hasn't impacted his performance. You know, and it didn't impact Johnny Giovitella's performance when everyone, including Johnny, expected to be in Kansas City at the beginning of the year. But, you know, Kansas City and their decision makers had other plans for that. Johnny came here and, you know, he got off to a little bit of a slow start, but after the first 10 days, he was on fire up until the time he got called up. So I would tell you, you look at the club's record, you look at the number of guys that have gone to the big leagues, and really, that lies squarely on the shoulders of Mike Gerschle, and then obviously Tommy Gregg, and then and Doug Henry as well as a pitching coach. But really, it all starts with Gersh. I mean, really, the tempo and his no-nonsense attitude, and everyone has to play hard every day, whether you're in the lineup or not. You have to be prepared. Everybody needs to know how to bunt. Everybody needs to know how to bunt and run, hit and run. There are so many things that they get and learn playing for Gersh. I really think his attitude is what really keeps guys like a Clint Robinson or like a Johnny Giovitella, who, of course, they're disappointed. They're professionals. They want to be in the majors, you know. They don't want to be in the minors the rest of their career. But I think Gersh sets that tempo that you play hard and you do things the right way, eventually good things are going to come to you.
All right, now this is the Mike Montgomery clip.
You know, not being a player personnel guy, and I'll never pretend to be that, and nor will I pretend to be a decision maker in Kansas City system. But, you know, I think with Mike, some of it may just be maturity issue, and I don't mean that he's immature, but maturity on the baseball field. And I think some players develop at different rates. You know, it takes some players longer than others, and some it takes less time than you would expect. And I think with Mike, you know, he's still on a good path, and, you know, he's still a very young age, and he obviously has talent. But with him, you know, maybe it's just getting enough reps and getting enough innings pitched, you know, in the minors while he's developing. And, you know, sometimes, again, you need a chance. But for him, it's about consistency, I think. And I think when he develops that consistency, instead of having a good game, a challenging game, two good games, two challenging games, or vice versa, I think for him, he will earn that chance at the big leagues when he develops more consistency.
I mean, that goes directly to what you guys were kind of saying earlier, is that he's got all the stuff. He just needs to go out and show it. I think that's probably been a problem for him the last couple of years, hasn't it?
Yeah, and I think when you see a comment like, you know, needs more time or more experience, I'm curious exactly. I mean, I guess every player is different, but how much does he need? Because he's at 35 games started right now in AAA alone.
It's a full major league season.
So, yeah. So, I mean, he's had plenty of time down in AAA. He had the full season there last year, and he started there this year. So he's had plenty of time down there. It's, you know, it's one of those things where it seems kind of, I don't know. It's just Mike Montgomery's situation just befuddles me. I don't know. It's so such an interesting dynamic the way he and the organization, it seems like they're just kind of opposing sides on this, and there's a certain narrative that it seems the Royals want us to believe about Mike Montgomery, and who really knows what's going on, what's affecting him. I think it's one of the more interesting things going on in the organization right now, even though it's probably skewing more towards the negative.
Yeah, it's weird just because, I mean, he's going to be 23 in about a month and a week. And he really hasn't shown anything. You know, Kevin Goldstein, when we've talked to him a couple times and when he's talked about him on other interviews and whatnot, you know, Montgomery really hasn't been all that good since the middle of 2010. And that coincides a lot with when he had some elbow issues. And I don't know if there's something to that. I mean, at this point, he hasn't really had a real injury. He hasn't been on a disabled list since 2010. It's just been a matter of inconsistency. His control has been bad. You know, this year, his strikeouts are a little bit down. His ERA is looking at least kind of average. And along with the talent, you know, he's not getting blown up like last season as often. But it's really strange just because, you know, you've got this guy who's got all this talent. He's been one of the top pitching prospects for the last 3 years, and it's not coming together. And I don't know what really needs to happen. I haven't seen him enough to really be able to pinpoint, you know, this or that, or if it's something that's with his delivery, if it's something with how he's approaching, if it's pitch sequence. You know, I don't know. But he does have the stuff to do it, and that's what he's going to have to rely on to really get to the next level is trust in that stuff and go for it. You know, not that he's holding it back, but it's just there's something that's just not there, and I don't know how to tap into that, and, you know, neither does he, neither does the Royals.
Yeah.
And
go ahead.
I was just gonna say, and typically you would think with some sort of, you know, with an injury, you might lose some velocity. He doesn't seem to have lost, at least from the reports I have, lost much velocity at all. Now,
no, Danny Duffy didn't lose any velocity either.
True.
So,
but the command issues could be something where that is definitely affected by the injuries, and that seems to be all his case. But it's kind of weird because I just, you know, we talked about the injury statement that Kevin Goldstein said that hasn't been the same since that, and I'm not exactly sure when he was injured, but there was a point in 2010.
I think it was June, mid June.
Yeah, there was a point at late May that he missed a couple starts. Mm-hmm. And before that, in his entire career, now it's kind of a hard comparison because it's, you know, rookie ball all the way
to
high A and all that stuff versus triple A and double A. But up to that point, he'd only given up more than 3 runs once in his entire career. I don't know how many starts that is, but it was about almost 2 full years. And then after that, I mean, he's given up, you know, let's just call it a bunch of times. He's given up 4 runs or more. So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe there is something to the injury thing, or maybe it's just the, you know, better hitters. I don't know. But just kind of interesting little tidbit there.
Yeah,
I tend to throw those in from time to time.
It is a jump. I mean, when he was 20 years old in 2010 at Northwest Arkansas, he had a 3.47 ERA in almost 60 innings. But his walks did go up. But he did, you know, there was some adjustment there, but he seemed like he was holding his own. He goes to AAA, and it's a big difference. And I know, Chris, what you posted on Rambling Morons about Odorizzi was that, you know, he noted that there was a difference, but for him, he didn't seem to think that it was as big of a jump from AA to AAA as it was from high A to AA.
Correct.
So I'm not sure what the deal is.
What Odorizzi told me was that they're all major league caliber folks from AA on up, and it's it's just 40-man rosters instead of, you know, it's basically the same. So if Montgomery is struggling at this AAA level, he maybe you don't want to call him up because he may really struggle if he does go up to the major leagues, because there is a difference once you go up there. So
I don't know. Who else do you have in the can there? Any other?
Yeah, I got one more with Marty Cordero talking a little bit about the experience out at Warner Park, in how they have had quite a few walk-offs. So here is Marty Cordero.
As we sit here today on Friday afternoon, what's today, May 18th, you know, our record at home going in to last night, we had won 14 games in a row at home. We're now 15-2 after losing last night 3-2. It's a great home record. You know, the fans here, They know, you know, the talent that's here, and they know how hard the guys are playing at home and how much they enjoy the fan support.
And after a doubleheader today, they are 17-3 at home, which is almost the complete opposite of the Royals' record.
Who are 5-17 at home.
So if you are looking for winning baseball, do give the Storm Chasers calendar a look. I had a chance to catch up with Tommy Hotovy, friend of the program, yep. Friend of Kansas City, Kansas Cityan. He had a cup of coffee earlier this year. It's quite a luxury for a team that needs three long relievers to have a left-hander setup guy, so that's why he's back down in the minor leagues. But I talked about his experience and how his time in Kansas City went.
It was an awesome time. Obviously, it's when I signed here, obviously the hope is to be in the big leagues with the team, but to get an opportunity to do it this early in the season, and it was just something I was real excited for, and obviously with all my family and friends and all these people I went to high school with coming out to see it, it was just an awesome opportunity, and something that I can't really describe other than it was just real exciting, and I really enjoyed it.
Now, if you'll recall, he hit the first batter he faced at Kauffman, and we also kind of talked about that, and I interviewed him about that, and we'll have that on the midweek show. But I also asked him what it's like to be on a pitching staff with so many guys coming up and down to Omaha, and not having a whole lot of consistency in the order.
As much as we've been moving and stuff, it's pretty common with a lot of teams, especially this time of the year. You're going to have injuries. You're going to have situations come up where they're going to have to make move. And when you have guys like myself that have options, and we have, Mazzaro, Adcock, Coleman, all these guys that have options, you it's going to happen, eventually, just because that's just the way it is. But for us, we just have to stay focused on what we're trying to do and what we're trying to accomplish. And obviously for me, my goal as I go out there every night is going to be to get lefties out. And as long as I keep focused on that, managing the righties as I get through the lineups, but focus on that, I know there's going to be opportunities where they're going to need me. There's teams, especially in our division, the Indians, have 7-8 lefties that could be in the lineup every night. So, when those matchups come around, there's a good opportunity for me to help out the ball club. And then, it's just, you got to take it week to week and see what the team needs. But again, you can't get caught up in all the, I'm getting sent up, I'm getting sent down, because a lot of the time it's not because you're doing bad. It's just because, hey, we got to have this in our bullpen. We got to have this as a starter. We need to make a move. That's just the way it kind of is.
And I think what you're hearing there is a level of maturity out of him. Mm-hmm. He's not getting caught up in the hoopla. He spent a little bit of time with the Red Sox last year, some time with the Royals this year. He's just doing what it takes. Now, you take some of that maturity level, and maybe with some of the younger pitchers, you may see some issues. But I think that was some good sound. I have two more clips. So we did some post game after this first game. Odorizzi pitched. He pitched 6 2/3. With 4 strikeouts, a walk. He gave up 3 runs in a very windy night. But the home run was to right, and it was legit. I mean, he just left a fastball up. But a very solid appearance for his AAA debut. Here's Jake Odorizzi after his performance.
That was all right. I mean, it could have been better, obviously. I left some pitches up, and the home run was my fault. Take complete blame for that, and then made some good pitches when I needed to. I had a lot of runners on base and scoring position. That's what I was most happy about, was that kept off the scoreboard, leadoff double. First and second, nobody out, and we got out of it. So that's what I was most happy about. I mean, just had to go out there and battle with guys on base, and that's always a good thing when you can get them out and, they don't score and give our team a bigger hole.
And finally, here is Mike Gershley from that same night talking about his new pitcher, Jake Odorizzi.
I thought his stuff was good. He left a couple of fastballs up that they hit, but other than that, I thought stuff-wise he threw the ball well. But he pitched in good and just needs to continue to do that. Move his fastball around, and then his off-speed stuff is plenty good.
His off-speed stuff was just filthy. He's got 2 curveballs. Mark Nasser, the voice of the Storm Chasers, I wrote on my article on Rambling Morons about, he called it the Uncle Charlie curveball, and then he's got that's like a 75 mile an hour deal, and then he's got like an 84 mile an hour curveball. His off speed stuff was just tremendous. It was really, really cool. Fastball, you know, 94, 95.
That's pretty good.
It's not bad. So, you know, if he, I don't see him spending all season in Omaha. I think the way the rotation is right now, mm-hmm. it's just if Montgomery can't put it together, I think Odorizzi's gonna leapfrog him. Honestly,
I think he already has. Even earlier in the year, it's probably been the case because, you know, he was striking out a ton of batters at Double A. It was just every now and then he would, you know, his first two of his first three starts, he gave up a lot of runs early. But, you know, his last six or seven starts, he was pretty much nails down there. So I think going forward, you know, we consider him the top pitching prospect in the organization. And yeah, if he has more games like what he had in Omaha, he's probably going to be up here. I don't know, maybe the All-Star break, somewhere around there. Danny Duffy is out. Jonathan Sanchez is apparently he's in Arizona doing bullpen sessions and things like that. So, you know, he's probably not going to be around for a while either. So I don't know if there's going to be a lot of competition for him once, you know, he gets things going in Omaha. If he shows that he can consistently get those guys out.
And sorry to didn't want to interrupt.
Yeah.
But friend of the show, Ryan Verdugo, is another option too.
Yeah.
If we're looking at pitchers later. I mean, he's having a pretty solid season, 3.22 ERA so far and eight starts. So, I mean, his numbers look pretty good. I think it's probably a little bit surprising, actually, because I think most people thought he was going to be more of a bullpen guy.
Yeah,
starter. But
my only concern with them looking to Omaha for pitching is that they're going to run out of guys by the All-Star break. I mean, they, you know, you can drive guys up and down to a certain extent, but these guys do have options, and you're wasting their time by just calling them up for 10 days at a time and 10 days and 10 days. So, you know, by the All-Star break, you know, you got to have some stuff figured out and have a 12-man. Both, you know, 12-man staff that you can at least go a month or two without having to make a whole bunch of adjustments. We're sending two guys at a time.
Yeah,
it's been back to Omaha, and that's just, it's awful.
And I was going to ask you, but because as far as you know, probably better than I do, as far as options are concerned,
yeah.
How does that all work? How many options does a player have?
It's
what, you know,
an option year. So they have three option years. For instance, Johnny Giovitella last year was not on the 40-man roster. His contract was purchased when he made the call-up in early August. At that point, he had all three options. If they'd have sent him back to Omaha at any point, since he was on the 40-man, I believe it would have used up an option. When they sent him to Omaha in spring training, that was his one option year. So he's got two more option years before he's out of options. So it's not every time they come up.
So in an option year, you can go up and down.
You can go up and down as many times. And if you're Everett Tiefert or Nate Adcock, that's what has been happening.
Okay.
And they've been switching those guys like crazy. And Tiefert came up, was called up last week. I think it was last Wednesday. Maybe it was last Thursday. And was placed on the DL yesterday. And Adcock came back up to make the start. So it's all kinds of crazy stuff. At this point, yeah, I think they have to kind of settle on somebody, especially with, you know, two injuries taking out Duffy and Sanchez, who, you know, they really expected to be in that rotation all year. So Nate Adcock has definitely, I think, earned at least a look.
He looked good today.
He pitched well last year for being a guy who hadn't pitched above A ball. And, you know, he's pitched very well in Omaha. And this year he's pitched very well as 2.33 ERA, 19 innings. You know, he's not walking people. He's keeping the ball in the ballpark. You know, he's somebody who's been a starter throughout his professional career. So it's not like you have to stretch him out or anything. It's just kind of getting him acclimated to where he can, you know, fill that role. So, but they do have to get some kind of stability because you can't just keep bringing guys up and whatnot. And even if they do, you know, you have to, you know, try to find a spot for this guy and that guy. And then, you know, even if it's like a phantom disabled list situation, you know, that guy has got 2 weeks where he's just not doing anything. And, you know, then you have to get him back to game speed. And, you know, there's a lot of complications in doing that. And I think with the relievers, you can kind of get away with a little bit more because you're not taking them so much out of their routine like a starter you know, starters, their week is pretty much regimented to gear up to that fifth day where they're making the start. If you have to take a day where they're traveling and then they travel back and whatever, you know, you're just introducing a lot of just weird and unnecessary shuffling.
Yeah.
So
we have a gentleman in our chat room by the name of The Jeff Report. Even if Odorizzi works out, the savior isn't coming from within. There isn't anybody that talented in the organization right now, unfortunately. Thank you for interacting in the chat room, Jeff Report. We appreciate you listening and appreciate your viewership. Thank you very much.
He sounds pretty intelligent, that guy. I don't know.
I wouldn't really get well. Okay. Whatever you say.
Maybe we should have him on the show sometime. We'll see.
All those.
I don't know. I hear that guy doesn't know much about the baseball.
I hear he's more of,
more of a football
more of a
guy.
Football guy. Back to baseball.
Yeah.
All of those interviews will be available on Tuesday here at RoyalManReport.com. It's about a half hour show. So. Check in for that. We will be right back here in just a few minutes.
The sun had set and the chapter had closed. But one thing no one thought about was the deer would rise again, just like the phoenix.
Kelly's Westport. It's the place where you buy beer.
This guy came into the bar the other day and was telling me they had friends in town and went down to that fancy bar district downtown. They went to one of those swanky no-ball cap bars and ordered a beer. Now, this wasn't one of those imported beers. Wasn't even one of those microbrew deals. This bartender rang up the tab, and he wanted $27 for three dadgum beers. $27 for some beers. That isn't right. That isn't fair. So he took them down to see us. We got them some nice big beers for half that price. Even had one of the ladies find a fella there. Got him some pizza. Listen, don't fall victim to those overpriced, no ball cap bars down there. You might as well take your money and throw it in the trash.
Kelly's Westport. It's the place where you buy beer.
Kelly's Westport Inn. Tell them the Royal Man Report sent you.
Come to Spit Cup this week. We'll let the person who has the highest bar tab ride the bull. We don't have any TVs in our bar, but we make our own entertainment. Mondays, it's free cover charge to anybody with a gun rack in their pickup truck. Tuesdays, we've got $8 beer night. All domestic beers are on special for only $8. It's Spit Cup. Wednesdays is longest tobacco spit. Thursdays is foot fungus night. Friday night is jamboree night. Bring your crap kick in your 10-gallon hats. And this weekend, you get our world-famous Spit Cup girls. You get to pick which one has the most teeth. It's Spit Cup.
No love letters, talking to the wall.
Or you could go to Kelly's Westport Inn. The highest quality drinks with the lowest prices. You know what we do. Drinks, friends, plenty of TV showing sports. They've got all the basketball and all the baseball on. Live music on the weekends, the best pizza in Kansas City, and fun. Kelly's has the best rooftop patio in town and is voted one of the best places in Kansas City to check out the view, if you know what I mean, and maybe make a new friend. Make the best choice for your evening entertainment, Kelly's Westport Inn. Kelly's is at 500 Westport Road in Kansas City, Missouri. Kelly's Westport Inn. Tell them the Royal Man Report sent you.
Somebody stands up and says we're sick of the control and the silver spoon that feeds all your stories and your bowling. Are you listening? Are you listening?
Looking up for a place to go.
Nice. Welcome back to the Royal Man Report. What? We're just going to listen to Dancing Queen all the time.
I don't know if you are or not. I can't hear you.
I can't hear you. I can hear you just because I'm right beside you.
Am I on now?
Did you hit the button on the thing?
No, he's good. Hey, welcome back to the Royal Man Report.
You don't get to talk the rest of the show.
Usual gremlins.
Now I hear
oh, there
myself.
You are.
There we go. I was going to say that was the Michael Ingles special.
You were in the song. You know, interesting and not interesting little side note on Dancing Queen. There,
there we go.
At one point, this is my freshman year at KU, and I lived in the dorms, and I came home from work one night, and it was like Friday night, and I guess there was like this pseudo dance party inside the lobby of my dorm.
It's not surprising
that happens.
And as I walk in and check in with the little desky and everything, Dancing Queen is playing. So that's my anyway.
When does the story start?
That was it.
Okay,
that was pretty much it.
Michael so, Engel,
welcome back to the Royal Man Report. Talked a lot about Omaha, but let's take a look at Kansas City now.
I almost rather talk about
right,
Omaha.
Right, I know. It's a lot easier when there's success going on. Yeah. But right now, I have to say, Felipe Paulino is looking like this team's ace, if there is such a thing to be had. You know, he's come back from right the disabled there. List. He's had two very good starts and one at least passable start. And
you know what the best part about that is, Michael?
What's the best part about that, Jeff Herr?
It's validation for you and I stat geeking out all offseason about Felipe Paulino. It's only been three starts. We don't want to get ahead of ourselves here on the Royal Man Report because we never do that.
Right.
But it's nice. It's nice to have.
He's got 21 strikeouts in 18.2 innings. That's pretty good. And that's somebody good. Who led the team in strikeouts per nine innings last year and strikeouts overall. He had 8.6 strikeouts per nine innings last year. He's hasn't walked that many yet. That's kind of been a problem for him in the past. But so far, he's looking like a guy who can carry the load. And he's also a guy who's not opposed to throwing 120 pitches if he has to get through seven innings, which for a team like this, for this staff, that is almost as valuable as the actual strikeouts and performance, just because they've torn through so much in the bullpen already that you don't want to wear those guys out, so you don't have to wear out that I-29 bus to Omaha.
Yeah, and it's just I guess I see that Felipe Paulino, when it comes to his pitch count, I guess he's warranted being out there a little bit longer, but it's always been kind of interesting to me that there were a couple times last year where they let him go 120, 125 pitches,
yeah,
and they never let anybody else go that far. And now I understand Bruce Chinn, 36-year-old crafty lefty,
injuries.
If he gets to 100 pitches, pull him out. I'm fine with that, But someone like Luke Hochaver, But then again, if you let Luke Hochaver go past 100 pitches,
you're ticking
implodes.
Time bomb.
So I guess I see.
If you let him go past the fourth inning.
That's true.
It's not the pitch count. It's the inning count for him.
If you let him go out there, yes. It's the fact that he's pitching. The inning or the pitch count has no bearing on Luke Hochaver giving up four runs.
Without giving up six, you're good.
Yeah. It's a quality start. We should make a new stat called the
Hochaver quality start.
If you get
quality start.
Four runs.
Get past four innings and under four runs, it's a quality start.
God, that's so depressing. His ERA is 7.02, which has actually come down after two starts.
I was just going to say that. It went down.
Ridiculous. I don't know.
We don't want to talk about that anymore. We're not talking about Luke Hochaver.
Nope.
It's just
on this
such
program.
A strange year for pitchers. Luis Mendoza, the darling coming out of spring training. He did have a good outing in relief of Duffy a week ago. And he was pitching all right the other night, but I think Yost left him in too long, and he finally kind of gave up some runs. It was just such a weird scenario because, he gives up a hit, strikes a guy out, and that's when they pull him. And I was like, okay, I understand his pitch count. I think he hit like 100 pitches right at that spot. But still, after the second hit, don't you, think about it? And then when the third hit goes through, that's when you think, okay, maybe we need to do something different.
I
don't know.
I just get so frustrated because I had this conversation with on Twitter with our friend David Leske from Pine Tar Press, writer for them.
DB.
He and I are in agreeance when you look at someone. I just get so angry when I look at the Tampa Bay Rays.
Uh-huh.
And I think I saw this from you retweeted this from somebody. I can't remember, like, a week and a half ago. But the Rays has started 200 at the time it was 200, so it's been a couple
it's
weeks.
It's probably been 205,
so more than 200 games with pitchers that they drafted.
Yeah.
That is unbelievable. It's not even just about having, because I mean that's over, year and a half roughly, call it a year and a quarter.
Yeah.
You know, of games, and you've got to have not only just the five pitchers, but they're not all going to stay healthy. You know, some of them are going to need days off or whatever for whatever reason. You got to have people that you can get in. It's just insane.
They even during certain parts last year late, they were going with a six-man rotation because they had so many guys ready to contribute from the starting rotation.
And it's not like they just have a bunch of stinkers that they're throwing
out
there.
Yeah, it's David Price. It's James Shields, Jeremy Hellickson,
rookie of the year. And
Matt Moore, who's having a rough year, but...
But I mean, he's
I would take a rough Matt Moore
prospect as they come,
right? Yeah,
and it's just like, and then you look at someone like the Rangers, and they just have arms everywhere, and they're just giving them away. I mean, they're just sending them out
for a setup guy to the Padres.
I mean,
wait a second, I hate to stop the show. I just noticed you're wearing a Kings of Kauffman t-shirt.
Yeah,
how long have we been doing this podcast together?
A little over a year.
Why do the other three guys on the show not have a Kings of Kauffman t-shirt?
This is the only one in existence.
Bastard.
Right, I made this for the Fan Fest in before last season, specifically knowing that I was going to be at Fan Fest for the Digest thing.
All right, go ahead. Sorry.
Interesting.
Back to baseball.
Anyway. Mad.
But I, it's probably best that you got me derailed because I don't want to get myself too angry.
Yeah. I got my customs, too.
Just put my custom shirt on. Don't worry about me.
All right. Well, hey, there we go.
That's your validation that you're
from
part of
the
member of the
command
media
thing.
There you go.
Which is nice.
All right, sorry. Go ahead.
There's a bounty. Let's back to baseball.
Yeah
just, my bad.
I just don't understand how they're, and it's not every team, but you know how a team like the Rays, who's in a very similar position to the Royals,
markets
can have so much success, and the Royals just can't have any when it comes to pitching. You know, I'm not.
Well, I mean, they're in the East, so you know they're having to fight the big boys, and they just got tired of losing to them, I guess.
Yeah, but what I mean, but see, that's the thing where I should say the Royals need to look at the Tampa Bay Rays. What are
Follow
they doing?
That model.
What are they doing that we're not? You know, there's got to be something. What's missing with the Royals right now? But what's causing them to win? They.
I mean, you know, you're right. I mean, they were worse. They set that record that one year, and I mean,
they've had just as many top five picks and just as many top 10 picks and whatnot. And
it's not like they.
No, I think if you're looking for a group to emulate, you know, low payroll but shrewd moves and whatnot.
Yeah,
they've done a lot of free agency stuff though. They haven't built a lot of stuff their own. So
they've had a couple of trades that went their way when they got Matt Garza for Delman Young, and they got Jason Bartlett, who was a big part of that team that went to the World Series too. It's just
but they've also lost really a lot of players to free agency too. I mean,
Carl
last year
Crawford
they had 12 first round picks because of all the players that they had lost, the compensation that they had gotten for those things. So, I mean, and if you look, and it's not like it was something where it took them, you know, forever. I mean, who's their GM, Andrew Friedman?
Yeah,
right? He took over in, was it 2004?
Yeah, it was somewhere around there.
And he took over there, and you know, 8 years later, but they've been good for the last 4 years.
Yeah, they've at least been knocking on the door.
You know, so
to get to that point,
going back to, I'm looking at it right now, 2007, the Rays were 66-96. Right, that sounds
like
like a Royals season if I've ever seen
it
one.
Sounds like every Royals season,
right?
That sounds like this year actually for the Royals.
Yeah,
but then the next year, ever since, the lowest amount of games they've won is 84. They won 97 games. They won 84 games. They won 96. They won 91 last year, and they've already won 25 games. And I'm gonna look this up to see when Friedman took over because I'm pretty sure it's 2004, but. You know, and you look at...
But he turned around in 4 years.
Exactly, and you look at...
And Dayton Moore's been around since middle of 2006.
And he took the, like, 8 or 9 year plan or whatever.
The
goalposts
keep
changing.
Moving.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's like, well, now there's injuries. Now we got to move it a little bit more. I don't know. But the thing with the Rays is they're not a traditional organization. Their front office, their ownership aren't the typical baseball guys.
From 2000...
You know, they're like investors.
Yeah,
they run it as a business. And
it says here on his Wikipedia page for Andrew Friedman, 2003, through his investment banking buddy, Matt Silverman, he met so-and-so, blah, 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 and got hooked up with the Rays. In 2004 is when he started working for the Rays. And you know what I think is great about that, that you, which is the opposite of what you see from the Royals, it's exactly your point, that they're, as a, with that business background, but just a huge Royals or a huge baseball fan and a baseball guy, he looks at this and says, you know what? What can I do to make this team better? And he doesn't have to worry about like, oh, well, when I was grew up playing baseball or when I came up in the majors, I was doing this, you know. I feel like sometimes the Royals are kind of stuck in that mold of this is the way we did it when I was going through, so it should obviously do.
Right.
You know, it should obviously pay off now. And someone like the Rays say, we got to do whatever we can to make sure we can compete. And look at that. The Rays have made the playoffs 3 out of the last 4 years, and the Royals are still stuck in 1975.
Yeah. Wow. Actually,
no, they're not, because they were really good in 1992.
They're thinking, you know, guys who can strike out 5 batters per 9 innings and don't necessarily prevent walks, or guys who can still get the job done every time. You know, and Kevin Scobie had a nice little exchange on Twitter earlier today, and this is kind of related to that same baseball guy mentality. You know, Jeff Francoeur went 4 for 4 today, and he'd been struggling a little bit. But they weren't all really hard hits. But Ned Yost looks at that 4 for 4 and says, oh, he's figuring it out. You know, just because he gets jammed on one pitch and it
was like something
in.
Rex Hudler would say.
Yeah, and it's like, call the cops, he's like, figured it out. It doesn't matter how he got there. You know, he could swing at a pitch over his head and magically get it over the third baseman, and it's terrible pitch any other time, but because he got a hit on it, it's okay. And that's...
it reminds me of a tweet from you around spring training time, and it was, spring training stats don't matter unless they help our argument.
Right.
It's exactly the same way. You know, the Royals the Royals talk about all these advanced stats, and you've heard the quotes from Dayton Moore, how they don't put much stock in that stuff, and they don't, you know, I mean, even though they have, you know, stat guys on staff like every major league team does, but they don't put that much stock in it, you know, unless it comes to defending someone like Jeff Francoeur. Well, he went 4 for 4 yesterday.
Even 4 you know, for 4, on, what's the problem? On, he can he's swing on, at the first pitch all he wants, even though he's 1 for 25 on the first pitch.
Yeah, and then, you know, Eric Hosmer, which, granted, I'm not worried about him either necessarily, even though I'm starting to a little bit. But, you know, you come to them and say, hey, Eric Hosmer's batting 175. What's the deal? And it's just, oh, well, you know, he's going to be fine type of a thing. So some of that kind of just more inconsistency in the organization.
Yeah.
And it's we've kind of been all over the place in this show.
We are.
We really
are. Sorry.
But it's
gosh, it's like, you know, it's like a, we made our rundown 20 minutes dialogue before the show went on. What is that about?
If only we had a cocktail napkin to write it down on, it would have been just that much more different. So let's go take a break. This Robin Gibb, all right.
VGs.
So it goes.
Rest in peace.
All right. We'll be back on the other side.
For Kelly's Westport Inn. Do high gas prices got you down? Well, don't worry about it. Hop on the bus to Kelly's Westport Inn and save some jingle jangle as you drink until you're blingle blangle. Kelly's has the best open air roof in town with beer and drink prices that are cheaper than at the pump. That's for sure. There's plenty of TVs to watch the soccer and the football games this summer. Plus, there's someone for everyone, and you can find him or her at Kelly's. Hearts and smoochies! So check out Kelly's Westport Inn, and you'll have more change to fill up your range, Rover. This has been Ben, Kelly's Westport Ben, saying smell you laters!
People will come, Royal Man. They'll come to the Royal Man Report for reasons they can't even fathom. They'll show up via a Google search, not knowing for sure why they're doing it. They'll arrive at our podcast as innocent as children, longing for audio. Of course we don't mind if you have a listen, you'll say. It's a free download on Stitcher Radio or iTunes or on Kings of Kaufman. They'll click the link without even thinking about it. For it is time they have and baseball discussion they lack. And they'll sit in their chair, sit at their desk on a perfect afternoon. They'll find they have a download all queued up and ready where they listened last week and cheered for their favorite segments. And they'll listen to the show, and it'll be as if they dipped themselves in magic waters. The insight will be so thick they'll have to brush it away from their faces. People will come, Royal Man. The one constant through all the months, Royal Man, has been baseball and the Royal Man Report. Kansas City has rolled by like an army of steamrollers. It has been erased like a blackboard, rebuilt, and erased again. But the Royal Man Report has marked the time. This podcast, these listeners, it's a part of our past, Royal Man. It reminds us of all that was once good and could be again. Oh, people will come, Royal Man. People will most definitely come.
Welcome back to the Royal Man Report. That, of course, is Staying Alive by the Bee Gees. Classic disco, big disco theme. Disco and Jack Black. Kind of a
weird... Hey, you could do worse in your life.
I guess so, yeah. I don't know. I didn't grow up with disco, so, you know, I don't really have a big connection.
You calling me old?
I did not say
that. What was that?
I did not say that. Those words did not leave my mouth.
I do remember disco, so I guess I'm old.
All right, this is our last segment on the Royal Man Report, and I think
thank God
we've rambled
that.
On quite enough. So I just want to kind of hit on some hot spots and some stuff that we haven't talked that much about, because there has been a lot of, I guess, bad news. You know, a lot of injuries, a lot of problems, a lot of struggles, but some guys who are doing very well. Like Moustakas is still hitting very well and playing excellent defense. Mm-hmm. He looks like
he's got to be an all. He's got to be the all star.
He's
right
probably
now.
The right. best player on this team, so. Not named Billy Butler.
Yeah, Billy maybe.
And Butler, you know, 8 home runs. He's in the top 5 in RBIs in the American League. You know, he's
no joke. Those are two legitimate all star candidates. For for both
no
DH and for third base.
Yep.
And Alcides Escobar.
I don't think Billy would get it. I don't think Billy would get it just because his home runs are low. But I mean, he's just a lunch pail type ball player. He's just every day.
Are they low for DHs in the? I mean, I'm not sure what the leaders are for.
I'm not sure
in the league because I know like
I know he's up around hits. I know he's up around doubles. I think he's leading the league in doubles. But
which wouldn't be a surprise since 2009. Nobody has more doubles than Billy Butler. So
but yeah, I was. Guy. I was going to bring up Alcides Escobar, too. Good.
Yeah.
Glad that you did. I mean, he's got to be an all-star candidate, too. As good a defense as he plays, that's just standard for him. He's batting 304 right now with, he's only got one home run, 12 RBIs.
This is on base, 347. You
know? 347 on base.
He could walk more, but, you know.
428 slugging.
He's getting on.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, there's some good things going on. Most of the bullpen looks good. Aaron Crow has looked very good most of the time. His last couple outings have been a little shaky, but... You know, for the most part, Tim Collins has been nasty, just absolutely dominating.
He's been phenomenal, hasn't he?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's walked like 6 batters all year, and he went through a stretch in 2.1 innings where he struck out 6. So just ridiculous. But even down into the minor leagues, Christian Colon leads the Northwest Arkansas Naturals in base hits. And he's somebody, Kevin Goldstein mentioned on The Vault on Thursday that he's somebody who could probably be in Omaha right now.
I think he actually, didn't Goldstein say that he was surprised
he's
that he's
surprised
not already
he's
in
not.
Omaha? Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, the way he's been hitting, you know, he's walking, so his on-base percentage is very good, but it's not.
Defense is outstanding.
Yeah, and he's a good ball player, and it's good to see that he's finally kind of turned it on after some rough minor league seasons. Especially, you know, he's a first-round pick, and he's a first-round pick that the Royals passed on Chris Sale. They passed on Drew Pomeranz, you know, so to get something out of that pick is going to be great.
And we've spent much time lamenting the Royals' second base hole they have in their lineup. I mean, that's it right there. If Christian Colon can put it together and come up, he can can solve that second base problem pretty easily.
Yeah, I still like Giovatella, but
I think
a second option is not a bad thing. Even if it was something where Cologne comes up and plays a couple times in the middle infield positions, kind of like Eric Ibar doesn't always start all the time, but he'll play either of the two middle infield positions sometimes. Or this year's a bad example because he's hitting terribly this year, but in the past he's been very productive. Orlando Cabrera has done that a couple times, you know, in different places, and carved out a pretty good career doing that. And he's not necessarily an all-star all the time, but he's definitely a very valuable role player. And that's somebody like Cologne, who's got a good bat, and he's not really outstanding in any one area other than kind of his intangibles. But to have him on this team, you know, that really gives the Royals some flexibility to where, you know, you don't have to go out and sign Unieski Betancourt like they did this year. And, you know, Betancourt is kind of starting some rehab stuff for that ankle, so I'm not sure when he's going to be back. The way Urien Fáilou has played, he really doesn't need to come back anytime soon. There is kind of a weird logjam down there at second base. You know, Chris Getz has played pretty well this year. Gio, they want to see him get some time. Fáilou's played well. So I don't know how that's going to shake out. It's going to be really interesting. So,
and for the record, Billy Butler is tied for fourth in the league for DHs in home runs. So,
oh, okay, well, there you go.
Well, there we are,
and there it is.
So, good stuff. Some other really good news.
I wish you could have said that without having the question mark at the end.
Okay.
Good hey, stuff. You know, I did not take any training or any lessons for this. This is completely organic.
Not one lesson.
Not one lesson. John Lamb is in Arizona, and according to a tweet from his father, James Lamb, he is very close to doing some work off the mound, which is excellent, as he's almost a year out from undergoing Tommy John surgery. Seems like he's a little behind what some schedules are, but you know, if you're using even Steven Strasburg as the example, who came back within a year, I think it was like 11 and a half months, which is well ahead of the curve for most. And you have to consider that every injury is different, every player is different, the severity may have been different, so you know, that may be why his timetable is a little behind some players who have come back in a quicker time. But to see him almost to that point where he's going to start throwing again, maybe he can get some rehab starts here at the end of June, maybe in July, and maybe finally see some, you know, some actual time back in Double A.
My boy Sal Perez took some batting practice the other day, didn't he?
Yeah, and he's said to be ahead of schedule. So he's leaving, I think, today to go to Arizona and do some rehab and kind of get some extra work and some focused work there as well. And, you know, if he can get back
Salvi.
Ahead of time. Don't I hate Salvi. That. Don't, I really don't like Salvi. I really don't like that. I don't know. And it's, you know, as long as Dutton's using it, it's going to keep going. You can't fight Bob Dutton.
Oh, no, I think it's done.
Yeah,
ESPN.com fantasy baseball is using Country Breakfast just as the name for Billy Butler. So
that's good.
It's
as
done.
Long as Big
it's
Bill
stuck.
Doesn't, as long as Big Bill doesn't
Bill's
fit.
Done. There was a
that
rumor
never,
that he
never started.
There was a rumor that Billy was pushing Big Bill because he doesn't like country. You know, he doesn't like Country Breakfast. I mean, you could just tell.
Yeah,
I mean, he put up with it. Yeah. He played along, but he's like, oh crap, this is a year later. Now it's still
it's
here.
Still there. Yeah, it's not going away.
But I mean, Big Bill.
Big Bill.
Come on, man.
Is he a wrestler from 1962?
Is he a
Big
is
Bill?
Is he a chain of breakfast restaurants?
You know what?
That
would be hilarious to see. Is the scene with like a bat, like the big boy.
Hi, I'm Billy Butler. Come get my big boy, Big Bill's special.
He did get a sandwich named after him somewhere, didn't he? I thought
I
so.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Oh, did he?
I thought so. Okay.
Is it,
about
it
about
the
a
country
month
breakfast
ago.
Sandwich?
Ooh,
that would be awesome.
From Hardee's?
Like, yes. Maybe like two waffles with some eggs, hash browns, and sausage
What's
links.
What's sad
in the
is I've made that concoction. I've definitely made a waffle sandwich before. I use who
has
a
college student
that,
hasn't.
Who hasn't
exactly.
done that though?
Gravy on top of it.
Oh,
man, I'm hungry.
Right. Hungry now.
Speaking of which, we should probably send this out, shouldn't we?
Yeah.
Back to baseball and back to...
We're getting ridiculous. Right.
It's crazy.
Hey, nutty. Be sure next week, we're still not sure if we're going to be down at Kelly's to do a podcast, but we should be down there to hang out at least. next Sunday. That's for the block party for Kelly's and McCoy's. McCoy's has some really, really good beers out there. If you are someone who partakes in such beverages, you know, the ginger shandy is fantastic for this time of year. Ginger shandy, fantastic! It's so good.
And
this has turned into a PBS show all of a sudden.
Yes.
Oh, the ginger shandy is outstanding.
Oh, yeah. Excellent.
Well
excellent.
Done.
The There's time a, is 8:15, and you're listening
you're just
to
joining
the
us. This is
welcome to All Things Considered. I'm Fake Ned. It's beer hour here on NPR.
Sweaty balls.
You know, damn, I was just—you beat me to that drop right there. I was going to get in with the sweaty balls there.
So you want to get
your balls
that.
Taste very good in my mouth.
my favorite thing about drop. Your balls is they're just so tender.
Sorry, Troy.
Sorry, Troy.
And then Sunday, the All-Star Week, we're going to be out at the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum with the guys from
Exciting
Baseball Perspectives, guys like
Sunday.
Kevin Goldstein and Jason Parks and Joel Hamrahi and Jeff Houston. Jeff Houston is a guy who
real
does,
baseball guys.
He does
not just pretend baseball
they,
guys.
They actually know what they're talking
real
about.
Real baseball guys.
Jeff Houston is a Kansas City guy. He does the COTS Baseball Contract, which is an excellent resource if you're looking for information on, you know, when a guy debuted, when he was called up, his service time, his options, his bonus, all that stuff. It's really good stuff, and I find myself looking at that stuff at least every off season for at least a month straight. So, and anytime I need to refer to it for any other things. You know, the Royals, they're not really, you know, I think all their kind of extensions are done for the time being for now with Moustakas and Hosmer being the kind of Boris clients that we expect them to be. So it's not really worth comparing what other guys are getting for that, but, you know, it's a good
the Boris PR
there.
Machine, though, keeps moving on as he was featured – Hosmer was featured in a Sports Illustrated article this past
yeah,
week.
Yeah, good timing.
With a 177 batting average.
Yeah, I hope he turns it around because it's just tough because you know the talent's there and he's been hitting the ball well, but there's a certain point where you just kind of have to – take it for what it is and the average isn't there. You know, he's at almost a record pace for batting average on balls in play.
For suckiness?
Yeah, it's just so bad.
How many polk points for suckiness?
Negative
15. Negative 15 polk points.
Yeah. And if you pout on the way it's another negative 5.
Nice.
So you know, attitude is everything, I think. So we're gonna get out of here. Be sure to check us out on Thursday at 6 p.m. Central Time on 1510 a.m. That's an ESPN affiliate. That's the Kansas City Baseball Vault. We'll be back probably next Sunday. We may be down at Kelly's. We may not be. Who knows? But for Michael Engel, myself, for Chris Kamler, and for Jeff Herr, this has been the Royal Man Report. Thanks for listening. Tune in next time.